Let me ask you a question. Who, just by a raising of your hands, who has a scar on your physical body? Who has a scar on your physical body? Keep your hand raised. Who has a scar on your physical body? I'm seeing pretty much everybody that has a scar on their physical body. Everybody's got something. Now, also, how many, if I were to talk to you, you'd be able to tell me exactly what happened with that scar? Raise your hand again. See, we injure ourselves a lot with the scraped knees and the scraped elbows of life, but you probably can't tell me those stories. But you can tell me the stories that brought a scar to your life on your skin, on your body somewhere, because those are the ones that's probably impacted you the most. We can look, though, at that, what used to be a wound on our bodies. And we can thank God for his faithfulness, because it's not a wound anymore if we allow him to bring healing to us. It simply is a scar to remind us of God's faithfulness to see us through every situation, every hurt, every wound that God that we've lived in our lives, that God has been there through with us through all of them. And he's brought us to a place, just like we heard in the testimony for Victoria this morning, that God is faithful to heal wounds and damage in our lives that Satan would mean for evil. God means it for good. And we can know that God and those scars that we look at in our spiritual lives, in our bodies, you know, as we walk through our lives and say, hey, God is faithful. How many can testify today that God has been faithful to you? Amen? You know, you may be going through a wound right now in your life. And I want you to reflect back on those wounds that have been in your physical body. Maybe it was a pretty devastating wound that you experienced. It might have taken you to the hospital. In fact, there might have been a situation where the family and you and the family and your friends weren't even sure that you're going to be able to pull through, because it was that injurious to your life. But here you are today, worshiping the Lord. You're alive and well because God saw you through that injury. And the same goes with our spiritual lives, with our emotional lives, with our mental lives, with every facet of our lives. That wound that you're experiencing now in your life, I promise you that God is going to be faithful to see you through, and you'll have a testimony of his healing power in your life if you'll simply just wait and trust in the Lord to bring testimony to his healing and his faithfulness in you. You know, right now Jesus is seated on the throne of heaven. The Bible says he's seated on the throne of heaven at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Right now he's praying for us. He's standing in the gap for us. He's standing in representation of us to God the Father, saying, these are my children. And he's sticking up for us. But he's also, as he's looking, as he's sitting there on the throne, he's looking at his hands. And he's looking at his feet. And he looks at his side, and he looks at his forehead and his brow, and he looks at his back, and he sees the scars that are on his body. Do you realize that Jesus in his physical form, as we just talked about this morning in the communion time, he endured the cross, but he also endured the suffering that led up to the cross and received stripes on his back. It was awful. And the nails that were in his hands and his feet, and the spear to his side, and the crown of thorns on his brow. And you know that when Jesus died and rose again and he ascended to heaven, and right now he may be a glorified, beautiful Savior that we know, but those scars are still there. And those scars that are there, because we're going to look at his nail-scarred hands, the Bible says, so they're not gone, they're still there. And so I believe that every time that our heart hurts or is heavy, he looks down at that scar that was right there by his side that pierced his heart. And he's reminded of his faithfulness in our life, and we're reminded once more of his faithfulness for us. You know, every time that we wrestle with thoughts of fear and anxiety or lust and greed or unforgiveness or revenge, he looks at the scars on his brow and he says, I've made provision for that. Every time that our feet take us away from him and towards mischief or danger, he looks at the scars on his feet and he says, I've made a way of escape. Every time our fists ball up in anger, or our hands want to cause injury to others. He looks at the scars on his hands and he says, I've come to that you might have peace. Every time our load becomes too much to endure in our lives, and life seems to be overtaking us and not worth the living, he looks at the scars on his back and he says, I have come that I might be your burden bearer. In fact, Isaiah 53:5 describes him very beautifully for us. Before he even showed up on the earth, the Holy Spirit described him for us today. And he says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. All that he did, every scar on his body, was for our well-being, was for our healing, was for our deliverance. And aren't you thankful for that? Let's give God praise today for his work in our lives. You see, today you might have come here today with a wound. But Jesus understands your scars. Scars in life are inevitable. But we've not been left to endure what causes those scars all by ourselves. Aren't you thankful that he's not left us to our own devices? Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous and don't be afraid or terrified because of those foes, because of those things. Why? Because the Lord your God goes with you. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. I want you to say with me this morning, God is with me. Come on, say it again. God is with me. No matter what, God is with you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what you're experiencing, God is with you through it all. Through the good times and the bad, through the happy times and the struggles, through the joys and through the pain, God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His word promises that. Aren't you thankful this morning for that? Proverbs 18:24 encourages us that Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Psalm 46:1 says that God is our refuge and God is our strength and he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Never, as you call on the name of the Lord, will he not show up. He's an ever-present help. Say the name of Jesus again with me. When you call on the name of Jesus, he's there. And it's not just here in this gathering of believers. It's in your dark moments. It's in your midnight hour. He is there with you as close as the mention of his name. As we reflect today on our physical scars, and I'm sure we all have our stories, I'd like us to be strengthened with the fact that as we go through life and as we experience the guaranteed injuries that life brings, you cannot escape the injuries. I want to just say this again. If you live, you will experience injury. And I'm not talking about physical, even though that's the truth too. I'm talking about in every area of our lives. But every scar that Jesus has on his body right now addresses every injury that you may face. In your relationships with friends and loved ones, he has provided a way. In your thought life, he has provided a way. In your emotions, he has provided a way. As a result of your actions and your choices where you walk and the things that you lay your hands to do, he has provided a way. And in the load that you may be carrying, he has provided a way. And I can tell you this, as we run to Jesus, as we rest in Jesus, as we rely on Jesus to see us through, you can know that these wounds will heal. And what remains will be the scars that, while reminding us of the event, will more so remind us of and point us to God's faithfulness to see us through. Say with me, God is faithful. Let's talk about the scar on his side for just a moment. You see, when Jesus died, it was right after he died, the soldier came up and ran a spear into the side of Jesus on the side of his heart. He was doing it to make sure that he was indeed dead. And when he And when he thrust that spear in his side, the Bible says that blood and water poured out from him. Blood and water. If you're into the medical field and you understand what happened there, you understand that the reason that blood and water poured out, because water had gathered around his heart, it created stress as he was hanging on the cross. So the water that was around his heart was surrounding him because of the stress, and also the blood in his heart. We understand as a result of that blood and water coming out that Jesus actually experienced stress and truly a broken heart on the cross. I'll say it again. Jesus experienced a broken heart on the cross. I want to encourage you today that Jesus understands broken hearts. People left him. Read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People were leaving him. People were Judas betrayed him. We all know that story. Peter denied him, and Jesus even watched it happen. Even God seemingly looked away from him at one point while he was hanging on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, God didn't abandon him. He just couldn't look on the sin that Jesus had taken upon himself at that moment, because God is holy. Jesus gets it. Every time our hearts are broken, he gets it. His heart was broken in so many, many ways. And every time your heart is broken, he looks at the scar on his side. And he reminds us by his Holy Spirit that if we'll allow him to, that he not only understands, but he gives us the strength to endure and to overcome and to see us through every brokenness in our lives. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. It's not just sunshine and roses. It's not just happy high fives in our walk with the Lord. We will endure hardships. And he's not left us alone. The scar in his side not only reminds him, but reminds us. And he's right here today, right now, to remind us that he's as close as the mention of his name. And he will walk this out with you. And he will redeem your crushed spirit for his glory if you'll let him. He endured a crushed spirit. He endured a broken heart. He overcame it so that we might, through his finished work and his strength, overcome our broken, our crushed, crushing experiences that we may face. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? If you are, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. Also, there's the scars on his brow. Before and as he was being crucified, as Jesus was being led to Mount Golgotha, the soldiers cruelly and mockingly shoved a crown of thorns on his head and deeply wounded him. There was deep wounds in his brow that left scars on his brow from these thorns that were just long and hard like steel. You see, just Jesus understands the trauma and struggles of our thought life. When Jesus was praying in the garden the night before he was crucified, his prayers were so intense that the Bible describes that his sweat was like great drops of blood. He prayed to his Father in Luke 22:42, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. You see, Jesus understands the stress that our thoughts bring on us. Our thought life runs the gamut from fear and anxiety to anger and revenge, from lust and greed, to pride and jealousy. When circumstances hit us, when someone does something or says something that offends, when opportunities to steal, to lie, to be arrogant, or to be angry tempt us, we have thoughts. And these thoughts turn to actions, which, if we're led by the flesh, oftentimes lead us to disastrous results. But Jesus understands and gives us this instruction as to how to overcome our thought life and to yield it to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says this. We demolish arguments. Say the word with me, demolish. What do you think about when something is demolished? It's flattened. It's not like it used to be. It's demolished. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. In other words, all those lies that don't line up with God's word, we demolish them. We don't entertain them. We don't agree with them. We don't invite them in. We don't act upon them. We demolish them. If it doesn't line up with God's word, I say no. I cast that out. And then it says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We don't ease into this thing. It's not a mamby-pamby approach to it. It's not if it works, it works. If it doesn't sort of approach. We be aggressive. We're on the attack. We are grabbing hold of. We're taking captive that thought and say, wait a minute. That does not line up with God's word. My spirit does not bear witness with this. This is not pleasing to the Lord. This is not edifying. This is not helpful. I take this captive and I force that thought. I cause it to repent. I change it over. I redirect it to God's word. I say, that's the thought that I'm going to think. And that's what I'm going to act on. The Holy Spirit is the guard at the gates of your minds. Do you realize that you have gates on your minds? Picture yourself, picture your mind as there's like a wall or a fortress around it. And that's the Holy Spirit. And he's provided some gates there. He's guarding those gates. And he's going to help us as those thoughts come in. He's going to say, no. This one you got to be careful of. This one's here for your destruction. This one's here to make damage to your life. Don't you act on it. Don't you even entertain it. You need to cast that out. You need to grab hold of it and take it captive and change this thing around. You see, he's the guard at our gate. He's going to help us to cast out and demolish those thoughts that don't line up with God's word. And the Holy Spirit will be there to remind us of what God's word does say. Because you see, the enemy can tweak that word around just a little bit enough to make it sound like it's right. But if you don't know God's word well, you'll be deceived like Adam and Eve were in the garden. And like all through the Bible, so many people were deceived because Satan is sneaky. He even tried to deceive Jesus the same way by tempting him those three times. He tweaked God's word just enough to make it sound like, well, maybe that's right. And maybe I'm justified. But know God's word, and the Holy Spirit will remind you what God's word truly does say. And if it doesn't line up, cast it out. If it does, act on it. And the Holy Spirit will give you, bear witness with you on that. You know, I don't know about you, but in my mind, there simply should not be enough room for all that stuff going on in our heads. Right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff rattling around in here. And it hits a cobweb in two in places, you know. But I don't know why we want to entertain all this stuff, throw a big old banquet party for it, and just let it walk us down a path of destruction. I would say take it by the scruff of its neck and by the back of its seat and throw the bum out. And all of his cohorts. And then let's welcome in the things that God's word says. Because there's really not enough room in my head. I want to be able to sleep at night. I want to be able to sleep well at night. I want to be able to walk through my day, you know, knowing that that stuff's not in there rattling around that I'm entertaining it. It just gets really crowded in there, doesn't it? So let's allow the Holy Spirit to remind us of Jesus' scars on his brow, you know, and know that by his Spirit that we too can take captive our thoughts and say, nevertheless, like Jesus said, because, you know, he was wrestling with it. Nevertheless, it's what Jesus said to God. His Father, not my will, but yours be done. You know, my will is, sick him, God. My will is, let him have it. Or if you're not going to do it, I will. Right? But God's will is that we would walk according to his word. And then we can walk in obedience to his word and face those inevitable challenges that will come our way. Amen? Amen. The scars on his feet. When Jesus was crucified, the soldiers drove these large, they weren't nails, they were more like spikes, into his feet to attach him to the cross. And he was not going anywhere. So both of his feet were overlaid and the nail, the spike, was put into both of them. And there he was. This particular scar on both of his feet reminds us that Jesus is with us every step of our life's journey to guide us. I'll say it again, Jesus is with you today. Every step of your journey to guide you. Those scars are there to remind us of that. You know, Jesus understands steps. He was very careful to only go where his father led him to, only to say what his father led him to say. His daily journey, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, his daily journey may seem to be kind of random and sporadic, but it was very intentional. He was led by the Holy Spirit every day to say and do and go where the Holy Spirit told him to say, do, and go. He only did only what God the Father told him to do. His focus was entirely on God's plan for his life, his purpose of why he was here on the earth. And we know that his purpose was that he would die for us and take the place for us so that we might be saved and all of mankind can be saved from our sins. Amen? He stayed focused on that. Now, the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered of the Lord. You see, we focus on the steps too often, I think. And I've said this before, but I'm going to remind you. Too often we think about, oh, what's the next steps? The steps, the steps, the steps. No, don't worry about the steps, because those are ordered from the Lord. So let him worry about the steps. What we need to focus on is the steps of a what? Righteous person. So we don't focus on that. We think, well, let's just live our lives however we want to, and God, you're going to order my steps. No. You live a righteous life in Christ, and he'll order your steps. And that's not in your righteousness, and it's not in my righteousness, because the Bible says our righteousness are like filthy rags. So we clothe ourselves in his righteousness. So even our righteousness comes from him. It's not by works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. So we robe ourselves in his righteousness, and then he orders our steps, and we get all the benefits, and he just sits there with the scars, saying, I've made the way. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, life is a journey of steps, one step at a time. Many times we make choices on our journey to take a path that isn't God's plan. Too often I would say that we run towards mischief, we run towards temptation, we run towards fame and position and power, we run towards comfort, we run towards worldly things, we run away from our Father, and we spend our inheritance on wild and foolish living only to discover that it's the prodigal son did, that all he ever needed was right there in front of him in his Father's house. But as we look at the scars on Jesus' feet today, and we're reminded of it, we realize that he's made provision for us in our life journey with our steps. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Let me just stop right there, because this implies very clearly that we will be tempted. We're going to be tempted. But in that temptation, God is faithful. He will not, the Bible says, let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. In other words, his grace is sufficient. He's going to provide that way of escape. The Bible says when you are tempted, he's going to provide a way out for you so that you can endure it. So when you're faced with that temptation, as you're walking along that journey, you realize, wait a minute, I'm getting on some thin ice here. I'm on the outskirts of the city. I feel unsafe. This is not a good place for me right now. Wherever I am right now, I just know that it feels creepy. I feel like I'm in danger. And that's the Holy Spirit putting some little red light warnings in your heart saying you need to run back home. You need to get away from this place. And I'm not just talking about physically, you know, some dangerous part of the city. I'm talking about in our lives, the choices that we make, which then represents the steps that we take. Sometimes we get out there where we don't need to be, and we get out from under his covering. We're right here, and his covering is here. His covering hadn't moved, but we have. We'll stay under his covering. He's calling us back. He's calling us back. He's calling us back. He's calling us back. Get under his covering. And know that as you're there, he's going to always provide for you a way of escape. We're going to have multiple choices, maybe 10 of them, and 9 of them are wrong. One of them is right, and it's the way of escape back to God. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction, right? And so the devil's going to just lay that out there and say, hey, this is pretty good. But he didn't let you see the end result of it. The utter destruction in your life that happens as a result of the choices that you make. So it would be a wise man and a wise woman, a wise person that would say, wait a minute, I'm going to stop right here before I go any further. And I'm going to say, wait a minute, I am not liking the direction that I'm going. So Lord, take me back home. Show me the way of escape. And he will. And then when he shows it to you, don't rely on your flesh to say, well, okay, I'll take it. Because your flesh is going to say, no, don't do it, don't do it. But the spirit man in you will say, yes, take that way of escape, because that's the way back home. That's the way back to safety. It's going to be a still small voice, It's going to be weak. It's going to be there kind of in the background because your flesh is crying out saying, go that way that you're going. It's going to be great. But listen to that tender, gentle, loving voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and find that way of escape that he shows you and take it and run back to Jesus. You know, you may be headed towards destruction today, but it's not too late to stop. Repent. What does the word repent mean? This is what it means. I'm walking this way, and I stop, because that's the way of destruction. And I repent, which means I turn around, and I head back to the arms of Jesus. That's all that it is. It's so simple, and you can agree with me and say, yeah, that makes sense to me. But too often, we don't do that, do we? We keep going, and it gets thinner, it gets darker, it gets scarier, and then we fall off the cliff, and Satan's got us where he wants us. Run back to Jesus. Take the way of escape. Run back home to the Father. Those scars on Jesus' feet reminds us that he is faithful to guide and to direct our steps, even when we misstep. Our journey's never going to be perfect. How many's walked a perfect journey on this earth? Anybody? No, except Jesus. All the rest of us, we're in good company here, right? So we make missteps, don't we? Welcome to the club. Welcome to humanity. But Jesus says, I've made a way of escape for you. And even in your missteps, I will guide you back into the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. I will keep you safe. It's okay. You're going to veer off. You're going to fall into a ditch. There's things going on. But I can rescue you from that ditch. I can redeem you from that pit. I can place you back on the straight and narrow. And his scars on his feet remind us that he can, that he will. And thank God he is doing that even today in our lives. Amen? Give God praise in this place and say hallelujah. Amen. We have the scars on his hand. Let's talk about that. When Jesus was crucified, those same spikes that were driven into his feet were also driven, large spikes, into the hands of Jesus. And it attached him to the cross. We've seen that image many, many times of him stretched out on the cross. Those same gentle hands. If you read the story of Christ as he walked on this earth in ministry, he reached out to the paralytic. Those gentle hands reached out to the leper. Those gentle hands reached out to the prostitute. Those gentle hands reached out to the little children in compassion, in healing, in acceptance, and in forgiveness. They were now wounded with hurtful, hateful spikes from hurtful, hateful people. Those scars in Jesus' hands reminds us today that every time we ball up our fist and want to fight, every time we take these hands and push away, every time we take these hands and take away, every time we take these hands and craft a plan to destroy or to undermine or to diminish, we're not using these hands in the way God intended for us to use them. We're using them to create wounds and not administer healing. We're using them to create harm and not help. We're using them to be hateful and not loving. But let me tell you what these hands, I don't want you to just look at your hands while I'm talking about it for just a second. I know some of you are taking notes, but just look at one hand. Just look at your hands for a second. Because the hands that you're looking at right now that God has given you were made to lift up praise to our Most High God. The Bible says to lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless his name. I think we ought to do that right now. Jesus, we take these hands and we bless you today. We lift up our hands in the sanctuary and we bless your name. That's what these hands were in part made to do, was to bless you. So we bless you today. Hallelujah to your name. We love you, Jesus. We bless you today. Oh, let these hands bless you in our lives. Hallelujah. Take these same hands, Lord God, that were designed and created to bless you. And may our hands also that you've made be made to bless and serve others. The Bible says that whatever gift you've been given, serve others and administer God's grace. These hands that God has given you, yes, they're made to praise God, but they're also meant to bless and to minister help and to minister grace and to minister love and to administer Jesus to others. These hands that God has given us were made to reach out in love and forgiveness. The Bible says that whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. There's a lot of people that need a lot of love in this world. And it's the least of these, the widows, the orphans, the homeless. those of a different color, those of a different religion, those of a different social status, whatever the case may be. They need the love of Jesus. And these hands were not meant for us to say, I'm going to pick it with these hands and cut. I'm going to sow anger and I'm going to... God, take these hands that we're looking at right now. And may we use them to bless you and to bless others. May we use them to be Christ to others, to love. Rather than us ball up our hands with a fist, may we extend our hands in brotherly love. There's enough fighting in this world today. We certainly don't need to add to it. Be reminded today that as Jesus extended his nail-scarred hands on the cross for us, we are also to extend our hands to others as Christ's ambassadors to bring healing and help and hope to so many who are in need all around us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's talk about the scars on his back. Before Jesus was nailed to the cross, you read the story before he was attached to that cross. Roman soldiers repeatedly lashed his back with whips that were embedded with shards of glass and sharp metals and other heavy items. And they were designed to maximize the heaviest damage on a human body. Some writings say that Jesus was unrecognizable from the beating that he took before he was ever carrying the cross up to Mount Golgotha. He was beaten so inhumanely that he was beaten unrecognizable. And I would say that of all the scars on Jesus, I would imagine that these were probably the most plenteous. You have nails, you have a piercing, you have this, but you have a back that's just completely covered in scars. Even today, right now, he's seated on the throne, but those scars are there for you and I. Numerous. Probably more than we can count. These scars remind us today that no matter how heavy a load that you may be carrying, that Jesus today is our burden bearer. Jesus understands the heaviness of the load that we carry. It oftentimes is back-breaking. And it seems like we just can't endure another step. But Jesus extends this invitation to all of us today, to you today. Personally, this is Jesus saying to you, with the scars on his back to back up his offer, in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come to me. All who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know, we know that scripture. It's a very familiar scripture to all of us. But I'm here to say today to you, and in fact, I want to challenge you with this. I don't really think that we take Jesus up on this offer too often. But he's seriously extending it today and every day of our lives. We all experience burdens in our life. You know, I would bet that in those times that we've truly given those burdens to Jesus, or we have taken him up on that offer, we've experienced the rest that he's promised, and he's carried our load with us, sometimes for us. But I also bet that there have been times that you've tried to carry these burdens all by yourself, and I would bet that it didn't go very well. You may be experiencing that right now where you come in carrying these burdens all by yourself saying, I got this. I don't want to trouble Jesus with this. But you're no trouble to him. Your burdens are no trouble to him. He knew that you're going to carry this burden some 2,000 years ago, and that's why he experienced the stripes on his back so that those scars would remind him and remind us that he's here to carry your burdens with you and for you if need be. You may be carrying this load right now that's unbearable, and you may feel overwhelmed, but I want to invite you. You may be very weary. You may be riding on fumes today, but I want to invite you. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to him with your burdens. Come to him with your broken heart. Come to him with your troubled mind. Come to him with your poor choices. Come to him open-handed and open-hearted, and let his scars remind you that he's made provision to see you through, to rescue you, to change your heart, to redirect your paths, to replace your turmoil with peace, and to carry your burdens with you and for you. Today, he extends that invitation. You know, Jesus' death on the cross that we celebrate and we remember and we are so grateful for, it's really the foundation of our faith. His death, burial, and resurrection is the foundation of our faith. It's why we believe and who we believe. That's why we're here today. That's what we're walking out. That's what we placed our faith in for all of eternity. But it wasn't just for the forgiveness of our sins that Jesus died. If you think about it, the death, the act, the sacrifice, it was an entirely comprehensive act to address every single aspect of our lives. You see, he didn't just say, I've come to save you for your sins, but the rest of this stuff, you're on your own. And good luck. He didn't say that. That's not what the act of sacrifice of his death was all about. We know that we're saved from our sins. That's really drilled down home. We get that. But I want to remind you today, or maybe even let it be a revelation to you today, that his death was not just for the salvation of our lives, the cleansing of our sins, but he addressed every single aspect of our lives, from our, not only our souls, but also our minds, our hearts, our walk, our talk, everything. It was comprehensive in our lives today. Jesus is looking at his scars today, and those scars will be on his body forever, for all of eternity. He doesn't resent those scars, by the way. When he looks at those scars, he's not holding them against you, saying, if you'd have just acted better, I wouldn't have had to do this. No, that's not the kind of Savior I serve. That's not the kind of Savior Jesus is. Jesus was glad to do it for you. He was glad to do it for me. Aren't you thankful this morning that we have a Savior who doesn't hold those scars against us, but he's made provision for us? Come on, let's give him praise. And I close with this. You see, when we see Jesus one day in heaven, when it's all said and done, when the rapture takes place or the Lord takes us home in glory before that, but when we're in heaven in that place that he's prepared for us and for all of eternity, imagine yourself for just a moment there with the host of heaven.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to gaze upon the beauty of his thorn-damaged face. And we're going to see his nail-scarred hands and feet. And we're going to see those other scars on his body. And we're going to be reminded not of our sin that caused them, but of his love and his mercy representing by them for us. And we'll fall at his feet. And we'll sing a song that only the redeemed can sing for all of eternity around his throne of grace because of the scars. How many is thankful this morning for Jesus Christ? Thank you, Jesus. I want you to be reminded today of Jesus' scars on his side for our heartaches. Jesus, I want you to be reminded of the scars on his head for our wrong thought life. I want you to be reminded of the scars on his feet for our missteps. I want you to be reminded of the scars on his hands for our hurtful actions. And I want you to be reminded of the scars on his back for our heavy loads and know that he's here to make provision for all of them. I'm going to close this out by asking the singers and the musicians to come back. And we're going to just worship the Lord. But I want you to, with no apologies, I'm so sick of COVID, these altars are open. And I want you to stand up this morning. Stand with me, if you will. And I ask you to come. If you have need for the Lord to take your heavy burdens, to take your thought life, to take your actions, to take the broken heart from you this morning, do not leave here without laying it at his feet and walking out with his provision that he has for your life. We're just going to worship the Lord, and I'm going to invite anybody that wants to come down to just come on down and just lay it at His feet. It's a physical act, but it's going to also take place in your heart. As you're walking down, I believe with all my heart that you're going to feel lighter. The burden's going to be lifted. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be free. God's going to rescue you today. How about it? I invite you to come to the altar and let's worship the Lord and just lay these things.